Vandalus urges you to hurry, the statue said. The void will not hold him very long. You must investigate if a better prison can be devised. Should the Torvor get free, there may be no stopping him. You mentioned another person alive inside the castle, Cole said. Yes, the statue said. I will take you to him. The statue turned, and the wall parted, opening into a stairway. Cole, Jace, and Violet followed the statue until they reached a barred cell. A boy, perhaps a year or two older than Cole, waited inside, skinny with black hair.
You're a scout?
Jace asked.
Yeah, with the Sky Raiders, he said.
I'm Jace. This is Cole and Violet. And a statue?
I'm Trotter, the boy said.
I'm a former Sky Raider, Jace said. So is Cole. Today you get a free pass. Want to get out of here?
Really?
Trotter asked.
How'd you beat all the statues? Cole has some shaping tricks, Jace said. What was your item?
A boomerang, Trotter said.
Always came back, no matter how terrible the throw or how much I moved. A statue caught it and broke it.
Anything else we should know before we go? Cole asked the statue.
You have the message, the statue said.
What message? Trotter asked.
Be glad you don't have to worry about it, Jace said.
Do we need to go outside? Cole asked Violet.
I'm not sure, Violet said. My power went dead when you blasted those statues.
Cole hadn't consciously noticed breaking the connection.
Right,
he said, touching her hand.
I can see our way out now, Violet said. The defenses are down. Back to the Vulture?
We should let Wenzel know we made it, Jace said.
The bars of the cell retracted into the floor. A shimmering distortion appeared.
Is that a wayport? Trotter asked.
She's a wayminder, Jace said.
But she can't open a wayport here, Trotter said. Not in Sambria.
Jace hushed him, a finger to his lips.
Don't tell her.
Thanks, Cole said to the statue. The replica of Dandelus gave a nod. Cole stepped through onto the deck of the Vulture. The others joined him, and the wayport closed.
Is that Trotter?
Wenzel exclaimed. Several other members of the crew shouted welcomes.
Sorry it took me so long, Trotter said with a wave.
We assumed you were long gone, Wenzel said.
I was locked up, Trotter said.
We should go right to Skyport, Cole told Violet. A wayport opened. Jace placed a hand on Trotter's shoulder.
Come with us. I have an idea.
They all went through. This time Violet had placed the wayport not far from the entrance to Skyport. The four of them hurried into the common room.
Back already, Adam boomed, and ahead of the Vulture. Bless my beard. Is that Trotter?
What were the chances? Good to see you, lad.
Cole, I trust you found what you were looking for.
Yes, thanks, Cole said.
I'm laying claim to Trotter,
Jace said. Cole's eyebrows shot up. He hadn't thought of the idea, but it was a good one. A chance to free another boy from this dangerous life. Adam sniffed and shifted on his throne.
Listen, pup. I paid good money for Trotter. He has now finished 20 missions even. 30 remain before he moves up from scout.
We don't work for you, Jace said. The crew of the Vulture left him behind. We salvaged him.
Adam scowled.
The Sky Raiders had a claim to that castle.
I didn't see a flag, Jace said. The claim is lost when a castle is abandoned.
You got to the castle on one of my vessels,
Adam protested, sounding less certain.
Actually, after the Vulture brought us near, we arrived and got home without your skycraft, Jay said. No claim was made for the Sky Raiders when we visited the castle this time. Not a single Sky Raider set foot on the property, and we had no agreement with you to share salvage.
Adam frowned
and nodded.
Valid points.
Seeing as how Cole is helping with financial reparations from the High King, I'll concede the issue. Trotter, you are proof that fortune can turn. You now belong to these three.
And I don't believe in slavery, Jay said. Adam, can you have his slave mark cancelled?
I can arrange that.
Trotter looked astonished.
Really? I'm free?
Just like that?
You're welcome, Jay said.
Cole looked at Jace, impressed. It felt good to know they had freed a slave. Really good. Cole quietly resolved to look for the chance to free more. Trotter glanced at Adam.
Do you mind if I stay on as a free partner?
Partner takes time, Adam said. But if you want to continue as a free raider or as a hired hand, the door is open.
Trotter raised both fists.
Yes! I can't believe it!
He turned to Cole, Jason, Violet.
How can I ever thank you? I was doomed. Now I have a brand new life. I'm forever in your debt.
Jace looked around the common room.
I know this place seems like everything right now, but keep in mind, there is an enormous world out there, and you are free to explore it. Enjoy it while you can.
Thanks for the tip about the castle, Cole said to Adam. It will help our cause. And thanks for the sword.
Always happy to do business, Adam said.
Where to now? Violet wondered.
Do you know a village called Kasori? Cole asked. In Elowir?
Sure,
Violet said. A Grinaldi village. That seems obscure.
I want to catch up with an old friend,
Cole said. He took her hand. Violet opened a wayport. Jace waved at Adam.
Stop exploiting children.
Then he stepped through. Chapter 10. Twitch. From the moment Cole stepped out of the wayport, he could see why Twitch had missed his home. Sunlight shone from a mostly clear sky onto a pastoral blend of fields and groves. The dwellings were simple but tidy. The stone houses on the ground, the wooden ones on stilts or in the largest trees. Neat gardens adjoined the dwellings, many with fruit trees, and one large wheat field was in view.
"What devilry is this?"
cried a cranky voice as Violet closed the wayport.
"Strangers stepping out of thin air with the swamp folk, are you? Explain yourselves."
The complainer was a scrawny old man, almost a head shorter than Cole, with a sparse white beard and the legs of a grasshopper. Just like Twitch, a pair of antennae projected from his forehead. He shook a knobby walking stick in their direction to punctuate his words.
"We're friends," Cole said, raising empty hands. "A friend wearing a sword," the old man spat. "Marauders, more likely. You better turn tail and magic yourselves away afore our knight gets wind of you. Chop you down to size, he will."
"We like the Grinaldi," Cole insisted. "We're friends with Twitch, Reuben. Do you know Reuben?"
The crinkly scowl deepened.
"Do I know Reuben? I practically raised the boy. The lad did chores for me, mostly paid him in apple butter and sweet cakes. Don't speak that name like it proves anything. Everyone in the region wants to be friends with Reuben, big hero. Who doesn't want to join a parade, be part of the fun?"
"We've known him for a while," Cole said.
"Bah," the man said. "I knew him afore he opened his eyes. Never seen any of you around here before, especially when times were ugly. I reckon you're scavengers, at best."
"We helped him find Minimus," Cole said politely. "The little knight?"
"Don't start underestimating little," the old man warned, shaking his stick again. "Is that a jab at me? I can still outjump any 10 humans, big or small."
Jay stepped forward.
"Do you know where we can find Reuben?"
"Now we're getting to it,"
the old man said, taking a couple of hops backward.
Assassins! Are ya? Come to destroy our deliverer.
We really are good friends with Reuben, Cole said. He met us during his wanderings. We helped each other. He'll vouch for us. The old man shook his head.
Strangers that appear asking questions ought to disappear twice as quickly. Our knight will cut you down faster than a bee sting.
A female Grinaldi hopped into view, landing near the old man. Young, slender, and pretty, she looked no older than Violet.
You be polite, Grandad. They answered your questions patiently.
The old man grunted.
Polite! I saw what polite got us with the swamp folk, got us kicked out of our homes and working our own land like slaves.
These aren't swamp folk, she said. You can see that?
Worse than swamp folk, if you ask me, the old man said, looking them up and down. Swamp ghosts appearing out of empty air. Swamp wizards come for vengeance.
Do you think ghosts would stand there taking all this abuse from you? The girl asked. Or wizards? Or assassins?
That's how they get you, the old man griped. Lure you in with honey. You reach out a hand of fellowship, and they stick in the knife.
Or they are polite friends of Reuben inquiring after him, the girl said.
Bah! The old man grunted, turning away. Don't say! I didn't warn you.
Looking around, Cole noticed several Grinaldi coming out of hiding. They appeared around tree trunks, rose out of fields, and peered out of windows.
I'm Chuli, the girl said. First time in Kasori?
Yes, Cole said. We really are just looking for Reuben.
Look how many there are, Jace exclaimed, turning around. Did you all hide when I came through, or were you already hiding?
We took cover when we saw the air turn funny, Chuli said. Then you appeared.
That was fast, Jay said. No wonder Reuben, likes to hide. You guys are experts.
You can find Reuben at the Wallows, Chuli said.
We don't know where, Cole began.
Down the main village road past the central storehouse on the left, Violet piped up.
That's right, Chuli said.
Really?
Jace asked. Violet shrugged.
It was on the map.
You have a map of Kasori?
Jace asked.
The Wayminder archives do.
Violet tapped her temple.
Good memory.
I can guide you,
Chuli offered.
Okay,
Cole said. She led them to a little lane and turned down it, passing dwellings on the ground and in trees. They saw no other Grinaldi.
Is everyone hiding?
Jace asked.
We were careful about strangers before the swamp folk took over, Chuli said. Our oppressors might be gone, but if anything, we're even more cautious than before. You don't have to fight what can't find you.
Doesn't that leave your homes vulnerable?
Jace asked.
Minimus has been training us how to attack out of hiding, Chuli said. It plays to our strengths, much more effective than direct aggression.
Are the swamp folk completely gone? Cole asked.
Yes, Chuli said. The big battle happened here in Kasori after Minimus defeated Renford Pullman, their champion. Renford's knights from other villages came after Minimus until none were left. The surviving swamp folk returned to their rafts, and Minimus became champion of all our villages.
So things are good now? Cole asked.
Chuli did her best to smile. So much better than it was.
She looked away.
But many of our people were lost in the fighting.
Up ahead appeared a large low building made of mortared stone.
The storehouse?
Jace asked.
The Wallows is just a little farther, Chuli said.
Beyond the storehouse, they left the lane for a trail. Cole began to notice a new humidity in the air along with the rich smell of damp earth. As they passed through a stand of trees, several large pools of dark mud came into view. Some had puddles on the surface. Heat radiated from the nearest, and steam rose from a few. Several Grinaldi waded or lounged in two of the larger mud pools.
Hot springs? Cole asked. Mud springs, Jace corrected.
The wallows, Chuli said with a smile. The most relaxing haven in all the villages.
Violet scrunched her face.
It looks filthy.
Of course, Chuli said.
What's relaxing about filthy?
Violet asked.
You'll know if you try it, Chuli assured her. Reuben is this way, in the governor's wallow. It's reserved for the alderman.
Reuben is an alderman? Cole asked.
More or less, Chuli said. As champion, Minimus appoints the alderman. Reuben is his first knight. In some ways, that makes him more powerful than the alderman. And he's younger than I am.
Scrawnier, too, Jace said. And he saved our lives more than once, Cole said pointedly.
Here we are,
Chuli said, speaking more quietly. Broad-leafed plants ringed the mud pool where Twitch reclined. Nestled within a smaller and deeper pit than the others, this wallow had the blackest, slickest mud and the most pungent smell. Twitch rested near the bottom, alone, at the edge of where the mud pool leveled out, pink flower petals over his eyes. Only his chest, arms, and head remained above the muck. A female Grinaldi climbed out of the pit, carrying an empty cup, grasshopper legs muddy to the thighs.
"Did she just bring him a drink?" Jace murmured.
"This is the fanciest wallow," Chuli whispered.
The woman emerging from the wallow approached them, eyeing Cole, Jace, and Violet uncertainly.
"Access to this wallow is by invitation only."
"Twitch is our friend," Cole said quietly. "I mean, Reuben. Can we surprise him?"
"The first knight needs time to meditate and relax," the woman insisted. "There is a protocol to—"
"Hey, Twitch!" Jace called, stripping off his shirt. Rolling over, Twitch wiped the petals off his face and looked up. His eyes brightened.
"Jace! Cole! What are you doing here?"
"We didn't want you to be the only one lazing around in the mud," Jace said, unlacing his shoes.
"I'm sorry, Lord Reuben,"
the woman apologized.
"No need,"
Twitch said.
"These are my friends. Come on in."
"Looks like you can take it from here," Chuli told Cole.
"Thanks," Cole replied. He turned to Violet. "Want to go in?" She stared at the dark mud in horror.
"Why?"
"Warm and squishy," Jace said, yanking off his pants. Clad only in his undershorts, he jumped from the edge, plunging into the mud almost to his thighs. Scrambling forward, Jace plopped down by Twitch, spattering him. Cole started taking off his shoes.
"Looks kind of fun."
"Yep," Jace confirmed. "Warm and squishy."
"I'll just stay dressed," Violet said. "And, you know, relatively clean."
Cole felt a little embarrassed stripping down to his underwear, but Jace had set the example, and he didn't love the idea of ruining his clothes. He waded down into the warm mud, feeling it slurp between his toes, first sinking to his shins, then to his knees. Toward the bottom of the pit, the mud got soupier, and he sank almost to his waist.
"Hey, Cole," Twitch said, "don't go in further, or you might get stuck. Plus, it gets a little too hot out toward the center. Come relax at the edge of the deep part."
Cole settled in on the opposite side of Twitch from Jace, resting his shoulders on an incline of firm mud. The goopier mud covered him halfway up his chest. Warm, but not hot.
"You're missing out," Cole called up to Violet.
"I'm going to let you have all the fun this time," Violet said.
"She's a wayminder?" Twitch asked.
"Only way to travel," Jace said. Twitch started blinking and gave a weak smile.
"She can't travel from here, though."
"Actually, she can," Cole said. "When I energize her with my power, she can open ways anywhere." Twitch blinked faster, and his lips quivered a bit.
"No kidding! So you guys aren't dead, huh?"
Lots of near misses, Jay said. Zeropolis was bad. Necronum, even worse. And we just barely survived a Sky Castle. Made me think of you.
Sky Castle? Twitch asked. Why would you return to the brink?
I needed a new jumping sword, Cole said. Then we got talked into checking out a castle. We ended up with some good info.
And now you're here,
Twitch said, still blinking a lot.
We wanted to check up on you, Jay said. Make sure you were getting plenty of toasty mud baths while we were off risking our necks.
I saw some fighting, too, Twitch said. I heard Minimus defeated Renford, and you guys drove out the swamp folk, Cole said. Twitch shivered. It was quite a battle. At least we won.
Zig told me you helped rally the Grinaldi, Cole said. You dropped Renford's brother.
Twitch jerked in surprise.
Wait, Zig? How did you talk to Zig? He died not long after the battle.
I was in the Echolands, Cole said. I met his echo and got news about you. Twitch gave an impressed whistle.
Really? The Echolands? You have been traveling.
How was Zig? Well, you know, dead, Cole said. But otherwise he seemed well. He was in a place reserved for heroes.
Was it a mud pit? Jace asked.
A little cleaner, Cole said.
Where's Minimus?
Wenatchee, Twitch said.
He travels between the villages, makes sure things run smoothly, trains fighters. He takes his job as champion seriously.
Minimus told me the Grinaldi feel like the family he never had. I didn't know if he would want to stay on after the trouble was over, but for now, he seems really content.
Not as content as you lounging in the mud all day, Jay said.
Twitch gave a guilty smile.
I don't just do this. I sometimes help Minimus train our fighters. I lead gathering expeditions. Everyone has been really good to me since we kicked out the swamp folk, but sometimes the attention becomes a little much.
He lowered his voice.
The wallows are warm and cozy, but I mostly come here to hide.
Attention from who? Jace asked, splashing some mud at Twitch.
The ladies?
Twitch's antennae quivered, and he hunkered lower in the mud.
A little?
Yeah, even though I'm too young for all that. Just everyone. I have aldermen asking for my advice, farmers wanting my opinion. I brought a knight who kicked out the swamp folk. That doesn't make me an expert in harvests or planting or managing a village.
So you fake it, Jay said. Leaders all fake it. Why not boss everyone around? Maybe you'll end up king.
Twitch rolled his eyes.
I don't want any of that. I just want, I don't know.
To nap in the mud, Jay suggested.
To live a normal life, Twitch said.
Weak, Jace mocked. Boring.
Want to come with us to Creon to stop a Torvor?
Twitch cringed and looked to Cole. We are kind of here to recruit you, Cole said.
Did he say a Torvor? Twitch asked. Like trillion?
Cole quietly explained about Romaro. Twitch listened solemnly.
You're talking about the end of the world, Twitch said when Cole had finished.
Pretty much, Cole said. Unless we do something about it. Twitch shook his head.
Why us? What are we supposed to do? Isn't there somebody else?
Nobody has a power like mine, Cole said. When I use my ability on a Wayminder, we can go anywhere. We've defeated some tough stuff, Twitch. Dandelus encouraged me to try. The High King sponsored me for the mission as well, gave me authority to speak in his name and everything.
The High King helped you?
Twitch marveled. He's worried about the end of the world, Cole said. Twitch rubbed his chin.
What could I do?
You're part of the team, Cole said. You've saved us more than once.
We never forgot you. We just didn't know how to find you.
Twitch closed his eyes. His eyelids fluttered.
We could disappoint the whole world.
We could save the world, Cole said. We can't count on anybody else to do it. And if we fail, it isn't any worse than doing nothing. We'd fail that way for sure.
Twitch blinked a lot and nodded.
You're right. Not much sense in doing nothing if we have a chance to keep the Torvor locked up, even a tiny chance.
We'll be trying to find Wayminders who can help, Cole said. Grand Shapers. We have some clues on where to look.
Twitch sighed.
I was really worried I would never see you guys again, and I was really worried I would see you guys again.
This is worse, right? Jay said. Don't you wish we were dead?
No, Twitch said. His eyes grew still.
But it's scary.
Would you prefer a Torvor showing up and destroying your people? Cole asked. Or enslaving them? Is that less scary?
Twitch clenched his jaw and shook his head.
No. Scary or not, I'm willing to protect my village, my family, my people.
Then what are we sitting here for? Jace asked.
Squishy and warm, Twitch said.
Jace nodded.
True.
Twitch stood up.
But I know another pool where we can wash off.
Chapter 11. Jenna. Cole had done his best to wring out his underwear, but still felt a little damp beneath his pants when he returned to the parlor in the first castle. Evening had fallen by the time Twitch finished his goodbyes. The fancy room in Harmony's tower was dim and empty.
I can't believe I'm inside the first castle, Twitch said.
He looks like a human again. Cole had almost forgotten that outside of Elowir, Twitch lost his Grinaldi features and became human unless he used his enchanted pendant.
You guys really know Queen Harmony?
She's Mira's mom, Jace said.
I know,
Twitch said. That's different from actually meeting her.
Cole is now an agent for the High King, Jace said. Stick with us. You'll go places.
Want to do one more trip tonight? Cole asked Violet. Just you and me?
Do you ever rest? She asked.
I don't know how much time we have, Cole said. We're racing the end of the world.
Why just the two of you? Jace asked. Looking for some romance?
No, Cole said, glancing uncomfortably at Violet. I thought you and Twitch would rather get settled.
What are you up to?
Twitch asked. I want to find Dalton and Hunter, Cole said.
Hunter?
Twitch asked. Cole explained that he had found his older brother, who had been working as a feared enforcer called the Hunter, before changing sides.
Do you know where to look?
Jace asked. They were going to try to check on Jenna, Cole said. I thought I could try the Temple of the Still Water.
Mystery solved, Jay said. You want time with Jenna.
Who's Jenna?
Violet asked.
The girl Cole likes,
Jay said.
No,
Cole said, shuffling his feet. I used to like her. I had a crush on her. It's different now. I'm mostly just worried about her. She was taken from our home by slavers with other kids from my neighborhood.
She's at some temple?
Twitch asked. I saw her at the Temple of the Still Water when I was an Echo, Cole said.
Back to Necronum?
Violet asked.
We did a shrine. I've always wanted to see one of their temples.
You go romance Jenna, Jay said. We'll find the queen. He led Twitch out of the room.
It's not a romance, Cole said.
Can't be much of one, Violet said. You don't even have your first whiskers. I had strong feelings for Jenna without really knowing her, Cole said. The crush was in my mind. She was pretty, and we were friends. The friend part is the most important now.
Think the temple will still be standing?
Violet asked,
taking Cole's hand and receiving an energy boost. I hope so, Cole said. Owendell wants the princesses. I'm not sure he even knows about Jenna, and I'm not sure how much he cares about Dalton or Hunter. The wayport opened, a glimmering oval in the dim light. Ladies first? Cole offered.
I'd rather know you're through so I'll be sure I can get back, Violet said. No offense.
Cole stepped through and emerged outside the temple. The fading sunset had already allowed the brightest stars to appear. The temple was not particularly tall, but extremely broad, built with wavy shapes and rounded edges. Violet arrived beside him. The large gate was shut.
Is that the front? Cole asked. Looks closed, Violet said.
Let's go see, Cole replied, walking forward. A guard emerged from a gatehouse as they approached. He wore a breastplate and rested one hand on the hilt of the sword at his waist. The guard tipped his hat.
Good evening, esteemed wayminder. The temple gates close at sundown.
We're here on business from the High King, Cole said, producing the seal. The guard took a close look, and his face reacted with shock.
That's the royal seal!
I'm his agent, Cole said. The guard saluted.
Can I arrange a meeting for you, sir?
How about the prelate? Cole asked.
As you wish,
the guard said. He thumped the gate.
Open in the name of the king!
It's past sundown, a voice replied from above.
An agent of the High King seeks admittance,
the guard called.
Here,
the voice answered.
Now, unannounced. Are you sure, Walter?
He showed up with a wayminder, Walter said. It's the royal seal, jewels and all.
The gate opened. Walter had another guard take his place in the gatehouse, and then escorted Cole and Violet to a waiting room inside the temple. He excused himself, promising to return shortly.
That seal works wonders, Violet said. I was a little worried he might think it was a fake, Cole said. I'm just a kid.
The guardsmen and legionnaires are well trained in matters of rank, Violet said. And a wayminder adds authenticity. We're known for our honesty. Though it undermines us a bit that I'm so young, too.
Walter returned and led them to a simple, elegant room where a slender man in a soft, dark robe awaited them. He greeted them sedately.
Welcome to the Temple of the Stillwater. I'm the prelate, Harwood Azza. I understand you are servants of the High King.
Cole showed the seal. I'm his agent. Yes, call me Cole. And this is my colleague, Violet.
Greetings, worthy wayminder, the prelate said. May I inquire what business brings you to our temple this fine evening?
The king has interest in a slave called Jenna, Cole said. She arrived here from Junction several weeks ago.
I know the girl, Harwood said. A competent weaver.
I need an interview with her, Cole said. Easily granted, the prelate said.
May I ask what this concerns? Is she a threat?
No, Cole said, recalling that some weavers were good at detecting falsehoods. He needed to keep his words true but vague. She has important connections. If she is willing to work with me, the High King wants her freedom granted. The prelate's demeanor grew a little colder.
She came at a price. You will get twice what you paid, Cole said.
Harwood nodded.
A reasonable offer. I foresee no problem with this arrangement. May I ask? You seem young to hold so much responsibility. I'm surprised I have not heard of your ascension to this office.
It happened recently, Cole said. I'm sure you'll hear about me before long. Cole felt tempted to offer his shaping powers as a reason for the instatement, but decided people with real power didn't tend to offer big explanations.
Would you mind if I take a closer look at the seal? Harwood asked.
No problem, Cole said. He could tell the prelate was suspicious. Harwood leaned forward and shut one eye, fingering the medallion. He nodded, then backed up and gave a slight bow.
You'll need accommodations for tonight?
No, thanks, Cole said. We'll leave after we meet with Jenna.
"As you will," the prelate said. "Follow me." Cole could tell the prelate remained a little skeptical. It also seemed that Harward had been shown enough evidence not to ask more questions, for now. Cole hoped the High King would get word around the Five Kingdoms about his appointment. The seal would hold more power if people actually believed him. Harward excused himself after introducing Cole and Violet to an older woman named Gilda, who oversaw the enslaved female weavers. Gilda led Cole and Violet through a set of ornate doors to a spacious room with a floor of pale marble. Statues stood about the room. Several chairs and divans offered a variety of places to sit. Silver accented many of the furnishings.
"This late in the evening, the silver sanctum is all yours," Gilda said. "You can hold your interview here without being disturbed, while I fetch Jenna. Please, make yourselves comfortable."
She indicated a bowl of grapes beside a carafe of water and left.
"I don't think Harward trusts us," Violet said, plucking a grape from the basket and popping it into her mouth.
"I'm young," Cole said. "He's never heard of me. It must look shady."
"I'm still suspicious," Violet said with a grin. "Can I see that seal again?"
"Very funny."
"Shouldn't be as big of a problem in Creon," Violet said. "Wayminders get full respect there."
"Even teenage ones?" Cole asked.
"Especially teenage ones," Violet said. "It means I'm gifted."
"People never gave you a hard time because of your age?" Cole asked.
Violet scrunched her brow. "I'm not sure."
"You didn't notice?" Cole asked.
"I can't remember very well," Violet said.
"How young were you?"
"I came to Junction a little more than a year ago."
"That's too long to remember?"
Violet slapped her forehead. "You're from outside, and you've never been to Creon."
"Right?"
"You don't know about the mind screen."
"What's that?"
"When you leave Creon, you forget a lot of what happened there," Violet said. "Especially specifics."
"Really?" Cole asked. "Do you remember your family?"
"You remember people," Violet said. "You remember how you feel about them more than specific things you did or said. You remember vocabulary and how to swim, but you forget stories and accomplishments."
"What about all your geography?" Cole asked.
"I had to relearn it," Violet said. "I was good at geography in Creon, so I relearned quickly."
"Still, that must be frustrating," Cole said.
Violet shrugged. "It's the price of being a wayminder outside of Creon. A lot of what I know about Creon was learned at the school in Junction, not remembered."
"Will you remember when you go back?" Cole asked.
"Yes, everything," Violet said.
"Will I forget stuff?" Cole asked.
"You don't forget coming in," Violet said. "Only going out. We believe the founders of Creon designed it that way, so you can't send information back in time and have it leave Creon."
"Because people can time travel in Creon," Cole said.
"Yes. Not frequently or easily, but yes. The time travel doesn't stick when you leave Creon. If I took you to Creon right now, and you went back in time 100 years, stayed a week, then left Creon, you would find yourself a week from now. You stay linked to the time stream in the rest of the outskirts no matter how far back you go in Creon."
"So why would they need to wipe your memory?" Cole asked.
"If you went back in time and gave information to somebody 100 years ago in Creon, and if that person left Creon, it would still be 100 years ago for him or her because the person fully belongs to that time. But because of the mind screen, anyone you told wouldn't remember the message when they left Creon."
"Write it down," Cole said. Violet smiled.
"Smart. Except the writing in Creon doesn't translate when it leaves Creon. However you normally write outside of Creon, inside Creon, it always comes out in Creonese. And outside of Creon, the same power that translates all languages in the outskirts into a universal tongue leaves Creonese incomprehensible."
"They planned well," Cole said.
Some Wayminders theorize that the mind screen may not have been deliberate. They speculate the mind screen and the barriers to written communication might have been an unavoidable consequence of placing a kingdom where time travel is possible beside kingdoms where time is inflexible.
Now my brain is hurting, Cole said.
It's you!
Came a voice from across the room. Cole turned to find Jenna hurrying toward him. With her hood down, the wavy curls of her dark hair spilled across the shoulders of her silver robe. Gilda had not returned, but an old woman with a kindly face followed behind Jenna.
Hi, Jenna, Cole said, catching her in a tight hug.
You're not an echo this time, she said, hugging back.
Alive and in person, Cole said, releasing the embrace. This is Violet. She's a Wayminder.
Hello?
Jenna said with a little curtsy. We don't see many Wayminders here.
Have you seen any?
Violet asked.
You're the first,
Jenna admitted.
Who is the lady?
Cole asked quietly.
This is Granny Helki, Jenna said. She's the echo I spend the most time with.
We're like family,
Helki said in a sugary voice, smiling sweetly.
And how do you know my Jenna?
Now that Cole looked closely, he could see that the old woman was faintly translucent.
We're old friends, he said. Helki's smile suddenly looked more forced.
How charming.
Did you find Dalton and Hunter?
Jenna asked.
Not yet, Cole said.
They're looking for you, Jenna said.
You saw them?
Cole exclaimed.
I thought that might be why you came by, Jenna said. They were just here yesterday.
Really?
Cole said, then glanced at Helki. He stepped closer to Jenna.
Should we maybe talk in private?
No use in whispering, Helki said. I have superb hearing.
She knows they were here, Jenna said. I trust her.
Cole felt uncertain.
I have some sensitive info for you. It could put Helki in danger.
Then it could put my Jenna in danger, Helki said. Darling, why not return to our project?
What project? Cole asked.
She's teaching me to crochet, Jenna said.
I'm working on a scarf.
Jenna has a golden touch, Helki proclaimed.
Do you know where Dalton and Hunter went? Cole asked.
They didn't get specific, Jenna said.
They thought it could endanger me,
but I know they were looking for you.
Any idea what direction they went?
Violet asked.
I really don't know, Jenna said.
They promised to come back for me when things are more settled.
Cole rubbed his forehead.
That's frustrating. I was really hoping to find them.
You can leave a message with me in case they come back, Jenna said.
Unless you want to leave with us, Cole said.
She is a slave of this temple, young man, Helki said. Illegalities are unacceptable. A runaway slave faces execution.
I don't mean as a runaway, Cole said. I talked with a prelate. I'm an agent of the High King. I have permission to free you.
Really?
Jenna said, hope and disbelief at war in her gaze.
Sounds like a lot to swallow, Helki said. Jenna, dear, are you sure you trust this ragamuffin?
Absolutely, Jenna said. It's true, Cole said. You're free.
Jenna threw her arms around Cole.
Thank you. I can hardly believe it.
She released him.
But how did you become an agent to the High King? I didn't think you were exactly on his side.
We all have a bigger enemy now, Cole said. Helki, have you heard of Nazim?
Jenna, dear, you don't want to get involved with this scoundrel, Helki said. I know the type. He's talking about foolishness you don't want in your life.
Nazim is incredibly powerful, Cole said. He escaped the Echolands. He's temporarily trapped, but if he gets free, the entire outskirts is toast.
Are you trying to stop him?
Jenna asked in wonder.
Yeah, Cole said. Your Echo friend is right that you don't want to get mixed up in that.
First reasonable thought of the night, Helki muttered.
Do you have to be mixed up in it?
Jenna asked.
It's me or nobody, Cole said. I'm in deep. I have to see it through.
The question is what you want to do. I could free you and you could stay here. It's really easy to get to you now. I have a special way of traveling.
We see the Wayminder, Helki said. That can get you here quickly, but it's a one-way journey.
Not really for me, Cole said. I have other options.
Is he talking sense?
Helki asked.
Yes, Violet confirmed. We have some unusual methods of traveling together.
It means you could stay here and we can come back for you, no problem, Cole said. Or we could take you to the first castle and you can wait with Queen Harmony.
I have heard some whopping tales in my time, Helki murmured.
All true, Violet verified. Cole directly serves the High King. I'm with him by request of the Queen.
What do you think I should do?
Jenna asked.
It depends where you would be more comfortable, Cole said. We'll be off trying to stop Nazim.
Do you like it here?
She loves it here, Helki assured him. Jenna is an extremely gifted summoner. She belongs in Necronum. She has a future here. It would be cruel to tear her from her home and her loved ones.
I really do have friends here, Jenna said. If I wasn't a slave, it would be about as good as I could hope for. Plus, Dalton and Hunter may come back here looking for me. I want to help you find them, if I can. I think I should stay.
Makes sense, Cole said. You've got that right, Buster, Helki said with a sniff.
Be nice, Jenna told Helki. He's my friend.
She faced Cole. She's protective.
I noticed, Cole said.
Is Hunter really your brother? Jenna asked.
Yeah, Cole said. I didn't remember him at first. He was taken before us, obviously, so we forgot him. He remembers me, though. He's awesome in a fight. In the Echolands, a powerful lady helped me find some memories of him.
He seemed great, Jenna said. And it was so good to see Dalton. Good job rounding us up.
I've been trying, Cole said. Violet covered a yawn.
Sorry. Long day.
We should probably get going, Cole said. There's so much to do. Jenna hugged him again.
Am I really free?
Yes, Cole said. I'm not sure how much good it will do you if you're just staying here.
Lots of good, Jenna said. I can get paid. I can advance. I can come and go when I want.
I just have to finalize the details, Cole said.
You're a miracle worker, Cole, Jenna said. Thank you so much. You're going to be out there fighting Nazim?
Hopefully not fighting him, Cole said. Hopefully just keeping him contained.
You're incredible, Jenna said. Be careful. Keep me updated.
You bet, Cole said, feeling pleased and a little shy. He didn't feel as giddily attracted to Jenna as he once had, but he still cared about her and appreciated her praise. We'll confirm everything with the prelate on our way out. I'll see you again soon, unless, you know,
he visits as an echo, Helki said.
Jenna shook her head.
You can do it. I'll see you soon.
Cole gave a tight smile. You're the first person who thinks I have a chance.
Perhaps because she doesn't understand what you're up against, Helki said. Take care not to drag her further into it.
I'm glad you're watching out for her, Cole said. Stay alert, Helki. Scary times are coming. Watch out for enforcers. Any controlled by Owendell are working for Nazim. We'll be careful, Jenna promised. Tell Dalton and Hunter to wait here if they come back, Cole said. We'll check in again before too long.
I'll be waiting, Jenna said. Nice to meet you, Violet.
Same, Violet said.
Bye,
Cole said. He and Violet walked away. Chapter 12 The Iron Fort.
I'm coming with you,
Mira announced as she entered the room where Cole sat, eating his breakfast.
Good morning, Cole said, taking another bite of his omelet.
Sure, hi, she said with an edge. Tasty eggs? How's the weather? Aren't we in a hurry?
Who knows when I'll get another breakfast this good, Cole replied.
Whenever you want, Mira said. With you around, Violet can open unlimited wayports. We can come back and eat here every morning.
You're right, Cole said, wiping his lips with a fabric napkin. I guess I don't have to completely stuff myself.
Everyone else is ready, Mira said.
I was hungry, Cole said. I slept in. I was up late.
What about the big race against the end of the world? Mira said.
Never mind. We'll wait. Want anything else? A souffle?
I worked hard yesterday. I'll work hard today. Cole wiped his lips and chin. I'm done. I'm glad you're coming with us.
Is your mom really okay with it?
She tried to talk me out of it.
I reminded her that we're top targets if Romaro gets free. Trying to stop him beats hiding.
Makes sense to me, Cole said.
It did to her, too, Mira said. She's just scared and worn out from so much worry.
I think this has been harder on her than on any of us. In the end, I asked if I was supposed to be her prisoner to match Father holding honor and destiny.
Cole winced. How'd she take that?
She cried, Mira said. But I have permission to go. Cole finished a glass of apple juice and stood. Then let's go. Mira led him back to the parlor where they had first entered the tower together. Jace, Violet, Twitch, and Harmony awaited them.
Hi, guys, Cole said. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Violet jerked her head toward the queen. Cole gave a bow.
Hello, Your Highness.
Greetings, Cole. I trust you rested well.
And had a good breakfast, Cole said.
How is Joe?
Stable, Harmony said. It will be a couple of weeks before he should walk on that leg. My physician will keep him in prolonged sleep for the next few days to accelerate the healing.
He might miss all the action, Jay said.
How do I get involved in that plan? Twitch asked. Everyone laughed, and he smiled uncertainly.
Can you keep an eye out for my friend Dalton and my brother, Hunter? Cole asked Harmony. They'll be looking for me. I missed them by a day when I visited Jenna last night in Necronum.
How is Jenna?
Jace wondered.
Very pretty, Violet said. She appreciates Cole. Not much chemistry, though.
Ouch, Cole said.
She likes him, Violet said. They're friends.
I will watch for Dalton and Hunter and put out the word to my contacts, Harmony said. Can I trust you to protect my miracle and to be careful with my elegance?
I'll do my best, Cole promised.
We all will,
Jace assured her.
Then you had better be off, Harmony said. Come back often.
We will,
Mira promised.
Violet, do you know how to approach the Iron Fort?
Harmony asked.
I understand the basics, Your Highness, Violet said. But I've never done it.
What makes it tricky to approach? Twitch asked.
The walls of iron are not the main protection, Violet said. The space around the iron fort has been shaped so that a wayminder can't open a wayport into the fort or anywhere near it. If you try to walk or ride there, you will find the distance to it ever increasing.
So how do we get there? Jace asked.
Access must be granted, Violet said. I know where to go. I'm not sure how it works.
Nor am I, Harmony said.
She held up a sealed message. This letter asks for admittance in my name,
It should suffice. If not, Cole can use his status as an agent of the High King. Don't begin with that, since Elegance would resist anyone coming in the name of her father.
We should go, Mira said.
Give Elegance my love, Harmony said. Return as soon as you can.
We won't remember much of what happened in Creon when we check back in, Violet said.
That's right, Harmony said. The mind screen. But at least I will know you are well.
Thank you, Mother, Mira said, giving Harmony a hug. I'll see you soon.
Violet opened a wayport near Cole. Off we go, Cole said. One step later, he stood on a sandy expanse. Low dunes overlapped into the distance in all directions. Heat poured down from the morning sun and reflected up from the sand. Before him stood an ancient statue of a hooded snake, rising out of the sand as if prepared to strike, four times his height, most of the details worn smooth. Not far from the statue bloomed a large orange and yellow striped tent, a blue pennant hanging limp at the top. Jace came through the wayport, followed by Mira, Twitch, and finally Violet. Scanning all around, Cole saw no other signs of life. No buildings, no roads, no vegetation, no animals, no fences, no footprints. Certainly no iron fortress.
Whoa, Violet said, raising one hand to her temple. I just got a big chunk of my life back.
Your memories? Cole asked.
It's like waking up, Violet said. I wasn't ready for it to be so sudden, so much, so quickly.
Big snake, Jace said.
A monument to the perennial serpent, Violet said. Hundreds of years ago it plagued Creon, unpredictably appearing and slaying whoever it encountered, usually wayminders. It gets the blame for killing two grand shapers.
Gets the blame? Twitch asked.
Witnesses don't tend to survive the perennial serpent, Violet said. A lot of what we know is speculation, educated guesses.
Is it still around?
Mira asked.
Violet fished a couple of copper ringers from her robe and tossed them onto the sand near the statue.
Not for a couple hundred years.
If you have too many ringers, I'll take them, Jace offered. Violet smiled.
The monuments are used as warnings to intruders, and as superstitious petitions for the serpent to pass by a location.
She tossed one more copper ringer onto the sand.
We can use all the luck we can get.
Jace shrugged.
You think it's lucky to throw away money? We were raised very differently.
What about the tent? Cole asked.
That's where we're going, Violet said.
Kind of flimsy iron, Jace said. Violet rolled her eyes.
It's not the fort. Hopefully whoever is inside can grant access.
Cole followed Violet over to the tent, feet sinking halfway into the sand with each step. They huddled together near the flap covering the entrance.
Hello?
Violet called.
We seek the iron fort.
Enter,
a voice replied. Violet lifted the flap, and Cole stepped into the tent. The others right behind him. The coolness inside washed over him in stark contrast to the desert heat. Could it be air-conditioned? He didn't see any machinery.
A man and a woman stood toward the center of the generous space.
They wore robes like wayminders, but iron bands circled their foreheads, and veils hid their faces. Embroidered rugs covered the ground, with large pillows and cushions serving as furniture. Most incongruently, a stone fountain babbled near one silky wall.
"Have you an appointment?" the man inquired.
"No,"
Violet said.
"Visits to the retreat are handled only by appointment," the man replied swiftly.
"This is an emergency," Violet said.
The woman held up her hands.
"What one might label an emergency, another might term a lack of preparation."
"Security is the top priority of the retreat," the man said. "Our protocols must be followed for the benefit of our clients."
"My sister lives there,"
Mira said. Many of our clients have relatives, the man said. They all must adhere to our policies.
I have a letter from the Queen, Violet said.